This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Here we go. Hour number one of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Welcome in a full room Cowboys Monday here in the G-Bag Nation. It'll be an overreaction Monday with you as well. The text is open. So is the chat on Twitch and YouTube. General at your service. There's Brian Broaddus, Woolchuck and Schiafalo, Lucius Alexander's in the Pimp Cup, Carter Freeman's coordinating your video. And along with you, we are the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. And yeah, it's going to take a big story to get the Cowboys off the top spot here coming off that preseason opener on Saturday. And we got one about an hour and a half ago, 2 hours ago. Woody fired. Third base coach Tony Beasley has been named the team's interim manager. And JD is going to join us at 4:20, press conference coming up at 2:45. I think people having the same reaction that kind of we did during the crosstalk, which is why now they just gave him an extension November 19th. It runs through 2024. I have mixed feelings about it, guys. You know, I don't think it's necessarily fair to Woody. It's not like you're giving a guy in Beasley a shot to be the next manager. It's not like you're taking a look at that. Just let them manage the season out. Maybe they turn things around and are hot, and you want to rethink things. But at the same time, I love that maybe this front office is getting a little impatient and going for it. I think that sets up for a very interesting offseason.
I might be very biased. I've spent a lot of time around Chris Woodward, getting to fill in for Jared and do Rangers pre and post. And Woody's always been great to me. You know, we've had a lot of challenging post-game interviews where there's been some gut-wrenching losses. And there's been a lot of opportunities, and it happened when Banny was here, where after a loss like that, you ask a question that maybe the manager doesn't like and they have the opportunity to just kind of bite your head off. And Woody's always been a gentleman. And Woody's always asked, no matter what question you ask, with a grace and respect. And I would have liked to have seen him be able to just end this season on his terms and see this thing through. The timing is interesting, especially after you win a series against the Mariners. You take 2 of 3, a team that is in the playoffs right now that you've struggled to beat, and you just had a Hall of Fame weekend. It was fantastic. But I'm with you, Gavin, in terms of you do have to send a message that 4 straight years, not that I think all of this is on Woody, right? The reason why they were a sub-500 team, they didn't have the talent on that roster, but at some point, we've got to make a change and get this thing in the winning direction.
It's easier to play the young guys when the manager's out of the way.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Much easier.
All right.
Much easier to play.
It's a good wine out.
Beasley is going to just do whatever the front office wants him to do. Whatever lineups, whatever manager, whatever combinations they want to, you know, with the roster, the lineup. Hey, let's see some young guys. If Woody's still in the mix and he's trying to fight for his job, he's going to be resentful of playing younger guys. Now the front office can take a look at their guys and figure out what direction they might need to go without worrying about Woody's feeling of, hey, well, I'm trying to save my job
right here.
Well, no, we're interested in seeing. We've already made a determination that you're not going to be with us
Do
next
you
year.
Need That's Brad Miller in the lineup DHing today? That's, no, we don't.
Yeah, we don't. You know? We don't. You need to play as many as the roster will allow of young players and get the evaluation. And that way you don't hurt anybody's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You've already made the decision to move on, and then it allows you to do whatever flexibility you want to do with the roster. Feel free to have at it now.
That's a Cowboys insider, Mavs insider, and I think now Rangers insider.
Oh, for sure, yeah, man.
That was a good one.
Nice work, Broaddus. That makes sense, because I'm trying to figure out the same way you guys are of, like, why now at this juncture of the season would we go ahead and do this? And but that is a tangible reason to say, okay, especially if Woody's kind of pushing back on
he's trying
the guys
to save his job.
Right, for sure. Yeah. He has his own reasons, and understandably so, as to why he would want to do that. He wants to just rack up as many wins as possible, even though it's all for naught in terms of big picture for the team. A random win here or there doesn't actually matter at this point. There's no playoffs, all that kind of stuff. And if they know that they're getting rid of him already, like, they already knew this. Like, why did we do it after we just won a series? What was the Hall of Fame weekend?
They had it planned.
Yeah, we didn't want to rain on the John Blake and Ian Kinsler this fun weekend that we have at the ballpark. But we'll go ahead and just knock this out. No matter what happens on the diamond during the series, we're going to go ahead and nip this in the bud now.
Okay, so Woody fired. A lot of the text reaction, you know, Rangers Twitter, they're talking about John Daniels, you know, 6 years after their last division title, still having coaches be the fall guy. But guys, you know, the reason that I'm okay with JD is, I think, because of the emergence of Chris Young. It's not just JD in charge of everything and another manager goes bye-bye. We're seeing a lot of reasons to believe that this franchise is heading in a winning direction. And, you know, JD is doing less of the baseball stuff. I think we should actually be encouraged by the way this thing is going. Now, Chris Young's going to get a chance to hire his manager. And if 3 years from now they're spinning their wheels, maybe we're looking at a total front office blowout at that point. But right now is not really the time to be looking at the front office component of this with a critical eye. If you've made it with JD for this long, I don't see any added incentive right now to consider him up to being fired. And I've been one of the most vocal critics of JD over the years. You know, I've called for his job several times. But right now, I feel like you're watching Chris Young emerge more as the leader of where this personnel is going.
I definitely agree. And, you know, as we talked about during Cross, for candidates, and Evan Grant's already put out an article about candidates, and I think the lead number one guy that will be talked about is the former Giants manager who's won 3 World Series, also took, I believe it was the Padres in 98 to the World Series, Bruce Bochy. He's won everywhere he's been. He's a veteran. Sure, he's up there in age. He's been retired. I think he's had a knee condition, and that's why, but he might be willing to come back. Chris Young and him have a relationship from Chris Young's days, playing for him with the Giants in San Francisco. You want to bring in a winning culture, an established veteran skipper? Bruce Bochy, I think, would be number one. I don't want any part of a Joe Madden. He's on this list. But I'd be all in on a guy like Bruce Bochy. I don't think a Ron Washington's a realistic option.
No, I would like Joe Madden just for the opportunity that maybe we can get one of these last two raw save your job Mohawk situations like they got in Los Angeles this year.
I'd be up for Joe. He's had some success. I think you could do worse than him. 903 says it's not moving in a winning direction. Brian Wolchuk, Chiafalo, what do you feel about that? Do you feel like the Rangers front office has turned this rebuild around? And we're heading in a direction where wins are in the not-too-distant future. Do you agree with me on that?
I feel like that the front office at least made a commitment to spend money. That's the direction I think that they go. Now,
and they wanted results immediately. Yeah. Hey, we paid two guys, and the rest of your roster is still very, very subpar, but we need to go get wins right now. It's pretty unfair.
Where I agree with you, though, General, is if we start to see this farm system deliver. If all of a sudden everybody that they have down there comes up, and then I'm not saying every one of them is going to have success, but I need to see a development of some players. I need to see, minor leagues develop these guys. They're now part of the major league roster. They're winning games. That's when I'll say the rebuild is, or the direction is going the right way. I like the fact that they spent money and half $1 billion on two players. The question I have is, did you spend the money on guys that are going to be those clubhouse leaders?
Yeah. I thought that was Simeon. Weren't we sold that's Simeon?
The more you talk to people in the organization about those guys,
quiet personalities. Yeah. Simeon's one of those guys that, you know, every day he's even keel, he's very the same. Seager's definitely not the leader.
He doesn't want to be.
Seager's not that guy. Simeon can be more of that guy.
What you're looking at is professionals.
Sure.
Lead by example type of guys. Rangers host the A's tonight at 7 o'clock. They did take 2 of 3 from the M's over the weekend. They're favored in this one. Maybe the Rangers knew if they were going to do it, they had to do it now before they won a bunch of games and momentum had started to swing. Cowboys look bad in their preseason opener Saturday night. Our Brian Broaddus was on assignment broadcasting that game along with Brad Sham. How did it go from your vantage point, Brian?
You know what? I felt like I was watching a game. The penalties just made it unbearable. When you felt like that maybe there was a little momentum offensively, you know, they had a clean pocket, a throw, oh wait, a holding call, something that just, you know, it was nonstop. I'll have a list when I do Krusty's Corner Day after JD. I'm sure sometimes we'll get it in today of some guys that I really, really liked. I think there were some positive things. What I really liked, guys, was the physicality with which they ran the ball, because I didn't think I saw that enough nearly at training camp. And I surely didn't see it watching the Denver Thursday practice. Mm. I was worried about that, but they did a great job of winning the line of scrimmage offensively and defensively. Denver didn't do a very good job of running themselves, something that they made mention that they were going to try and do. But that part of it I will take as a positive for the Dallas Cowboys. I think there's some players that played pretty well for them.
I saw one of those graphics where they do the yards per rush before contact. And for the weekend, the Cowboys were second behind Seattle in terms of the team that had the most rushing yards before contact in their respective game, which kind of tells you holes were being opened up. Backs had lanes to run through. Yeah.
You had them averaging right at 5 yards a carry.
The
and
pass
I think
the, blocking was absolutely atrocious.
I think,
but the run blocking was solid.
Well, I'll tell you what. There was a time early in that football game where your quarterback was atrocious. A third down throw to the outside.
The quarterback play was bad.
Yeah.
And people want to give Ben DiNucci some love.
Yeah.
Ben DiNucci ain't any good either.
Yeah, but the best thing that happened to Ben DiNucci was we got to watch a little bit of Cooper Rush just crap the bed for a while. So
sure.
When DiNucci came in, it was like, wow, this is a breath
of
fresh
air. But I'd love to just keep this into perspective. Just because some other guy looks like hot garbage, it doesn't mean that the dude that comes in after him is any good. The Cowboys don't have a backup quarterback on the roster.
It's crazy how bad Cooper Rush can be. You know, here's a guy that's made history in preseason games in his rookie preseason.
Yeah.
You know, and wins a regular season game.
Yeah, he was one of the most efficient passers his rookie season. He won a game last year. A lot of people kind of hang their hat on that.
Yeah.
But there's a legitimate quarterback battle. And unfortunately, though, Will Greer was not part of that.
Yeah. He still won.
Yeah. And, you know, and the thing about it is, though.
He did.
Yeah, he's a big winner on the night.
No, a big winner on the night. You're right about that.
100%.
But the things that were going on with Cooper Rush, and there were too many times Brad and I were talking about it during the broadcast, of holding the ball, holding. You know, there were guys, there were routes. The pass that was intercepted, ball came out of his hand just terribly in that situation. You know, he had an opportunity to flip it out into the left flat there, and Rico Dowdle would have made a first down and then got a ton of yards. I mean, you got to be a little bit more aware of what's happening around you
there. Well, he's a scrub. We should have known it. He was like, wolf in sheep's clothing last year
but
or something like that.
To Zach's point, this team might not have a backup quarterback. And we need to see Will Greer play.
We do. In fairness to Will Greer, we need to wait that out.
But the bigger topics, I think, are the penalties continuing.
Yeah.
Do you assign that? And then with the success running the football, can we actually be talking about an adjusted team philosophy, and can they have a regular season success with it?
They were running the ball with the starting center was in the game and the starting right tackle was in the game.
And Tyler Smith.
And Tyler Smith was in the game. We'll see what happens with that whole situation. But, yeah, I was – that part of it I was very encouraged by, because I was worried that Denver was going to find a way to win the line of scrimmage, and they didn't in that game.
You know
– at least running the ball.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And we haven't talked at all about, hey, has this team adjusted something that makes you feel great about where they're going? The answer to that has been nope, 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 nope. If you are going to be committed to running the football and have success, now we're talking about putting Dak Prescott in a position to be highly, highly successful. And I didn't want to think that Kellen Moore and Mike McCarthy, because they seem so glued and married to the we're going to be a pass dominant offense last year. They haven't really signaled much with their talking about it. And it appeared in Oxnard they were just going to try to execute the same game plan better. But maybe they're going to try to run the ball a lot more. Maybe they're putting a lot more emphasis on it and a lot more mental energy going into game plans. And if that's the case, then shoot, maybe they're going to steamroll this division again, Brian. That's how big of a swing I think it would cause from an offense that's going to struggle and leave you frustrated and getting off the field in three downs to, if you're going to be a good running team, I think it's on because this defense is going to be good. That you know, recipe for a big playoff run is what I'd be looking at.
No, you're absolutely right about that. The thing that was encouraging to me is the numbers for Josh Johnson, you know, ends up with 172 yards, but really he had two really huge pass plays in that game. Other than that, I felt like they did a pretty good job of coverage. I felt like there was some pressure at times.
Defensive line was fantastic.
The defensive line, you're absolutely right about that. You know, that's the thing that I, again, get encouraged by. I once I saw the way the Cowboys offense was operating, and again, a lot of it had to do with the penalties. They just could not get anything going. Every time you felt like that they were going to have something, they were going to make a play, going to keep a drive going, you get a holding penalty or you get some, you know, stupid penalty that takes them back. So, the 17 penalties, that's alarming.
Yeah.
And everybody says, well, who do you blame that on? Well, if it's an undisciplined football team, Mike McCarthy, and here's people, they're going to get on me because they think I never have anything nice to say about Mike. But Mike McCarthy's involved in building this roster. If you're drafting undisciplined football players, if you're drafting Kelvin Joseph and he lines up off sides after they miss a field goal right before half and they get another shot 5 yards closer and make the field goal, that's a guy you drafted. You know, he talks about he's frustrated with the penalties, but if you're drafting undisciplined football players or players that don't have football intelligence, you know, not to commit penalties, then that's on you too.
Sure.
Then we got to go one by one. I got to point at Will McClay every time a flag gets thrown. I got to look at Dan Quinn every time Kelvin Joseph does something stupid. So it's more than just McCarthy.
No, you look at the situation and okay, let's think about Fowler and that one, the third and 12 or third and 13 that they convert because they get a offsides and in a roughing the passer. Two veteran players, Fowler, Basham. Both get penalties on that play to give the Broncos a first down.
Yeah.
Those are veteran players.
Sure.
You know, if it was one thing, if Sam Williams' call that he had the roughing the passer was absolute BS.
Yeah, it was.
Because
that's football.
Ball out, he had a step. Boom.
There were a few of those calls that were BS.
Oh,
I thought one
absolutely.
Of the holds on Tyler Smith was
the guy
absolutely
was going to the
ridiculous.
Ground.
Well, two of them. Both of them I thought were pretty bad. One, it's just the angle with the back judge. It's because of the hand placement on the outside. He's going to call that. But in reality, he's going to the ground and he's catching him. It's not a hold. We do have this in. The Cowboys, who have to go from 90 to 85 players on the roster, they've got to make some moves by
tomorrow
at 3. They're waving cornerback Kyren Brown, who got hurt.
Yeah.
And he actually had a pretty good game.
He did.
I thought he missed a pick six.
Did they
six.
Wave him injured?
Yes.
Okay.
So they waved him injured.
Okay.
Fullback Ryan Nall, which is interesting because they might keep four tight ends with that move.
Yeah.
Tight end Ian Bunting. Wide receiver Tyler Freifogel. Not for Joel. Tyler Freifogel.
You thought it was for Joel throughout training camp, right?
Yeah. And defensive lineman Austin Fowliu.
Yeah.
Now, that might be completely wrong, but he's gone, so we don't need to worry about his name anymore.
Freifogel is spelled exactly how it sounds, and Walchuk was calling him, what was it again?
Frijoil.
I just
thought it.
It's a great name, too.
Better.
I want the guy to make the roster.
But I was team Kyren Brown. I kind of liked him.
G-Bag of the Day is coming up at 2:30. We have the update on tragedy at a youth football game coming up next in the G-Bag Nation.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Nation. Okay, segment here is brought to you by the Frankels. You think there will be less big company trucks on the road this summer because of gas prices? Think again, and those big trucks have insurance companies to protect them. So get the representation that won't settle for less. Frankel and Frankel at truckwreck.com. Condolences to the family of football coach and former UNT running back Michael Hickman, killed over the weekend in what has become a national story. He did play at UNT from 98 until 02. He was known as a leader, an old soul, even in his 20s, a calming influence around that football team. And the news about an hour or so before we went on air, Yaqub Talib, brother of Aqib, has turned himself into authorities after the deadly shooting of a North Texas youth football coach. His attorney has said the Talib brothers were coaches with the North Dallas Bobcats. Dispute started during the game, where Hickman went to pick up a ball and somebody kicked it away from him. And there you had it. That was tinder for the fire. Looking at the video from when it happened, people just way too carried away. Whenever these occur, I'm just stunned at how you can have so many people who have lost emotional control to that point all in the same place together. You know, usually there's like one or maybe two. But you had so many people, and it escalated and escalated, and it ends in absolute tragedy. I can't imagine being one of those kids, you know? Coach Hickman had his own kid who was there. His own son was there at a youth game, and it ends like this. And then to have the NFL tie-in with the Talibs, it was just surreal as this story started to unfold. I don't even know what you can say other than what people already know, you know? I'm not breaking any news. What the hell's a gun doing at a youth sports game? You know, if you feel like that world is so dangerous that you need to go to a youth football game, just don't go. You know, hey, wherever you think the world is so dangerous that you got to have a gun to what? Escalate a situation? And what? Somebody wanting to fight you is grounds to get your gun out? Don't get your gun out unless somebody is about to be killed. That's how you take your gun and be the good guy. Bad guys arrived. Terrorists arrived. Something crazy happened, right? That's when you bring your gun out. Not this guy thought that I was making the spot in the wrong place, so he was going to move it. I kicked it out. That's silly nonsense. That's, you know, to say that that's like teenage stuff or high school stuff is an insult to teenager and high schoolers. That's how horrifically horrible that is, you know? Unfortunately, Aqib Talib's name is getting drugged through here as well. But by far the biggest tragedy is what those kids witnessed. I can't imagine carrying on through life after watching that happen to your dad.
Gosh, dude. Yeah, that's a wild deal. A wild deal that makes no sense, and there is no excuse for it. And I couldn't believe it. I'm seeing it pop up, and there's the videos, and I'm like, how can something as simple as a kid's game escalate to this? It doesn't make any sense.
Tell you what, go into kids' games, though. A lot of parents are pretty violent.
Yeah, oh, I can't sure. say I'm
and it might not be. It might not
shocked.
Be. It might not be carrying guns to the game, but the abuse that officials take during a game, or the, you know, other parents getting on the other team's parents, things that are said, you know, again, it's,
it's tough.
I've gone to a lot of kids' games. Well, Bennett played in a lot of sports, a lot of those games, and I just kind of felt like there were times where I said something to an official that, you know, and the coach had to remind me about it. You know, I was on the field helping with the water, and I'm like, sir, no, they don't need your help. That's a good team over there. You know, that's the kind of stuff I would say, but never anything violent or anything like that. But I don't know how you go to these sporting events for kids anymore with some of the things that are said and some of the actions of parents and coaches along the way. It's tough. I admire you for being a soccer coach.
Absolutely. But you're right. I've heard like threats of violence.
Against you?
It's not uncommon.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or against the other parents or parents on their sideline or our sidelines. You're right. It's not uncommon.
My first job, I was a timekeeper for Plano Sports Authority. All right, so I'm like 14 years old.
Crushing it.
It's third grade.
You're just trying to make 15 bucks a game.
I can't believe you gave that up.
Like $10 an hour, maybe less.
Oh, that's right. Chick-fil-A came calling.
Yeah, I eventually upgraded to Chick-fil-A. But it's third grade girls basketball.
Yeah.
Third grade, right? These girls can barely dribble
the height
and
of
shoot.
Athleticism.
Both coaches end up getting in a fist fight.
Oh, my goodness.
With one another.
Oh,
like, did one get their ass kicked?
It's just, it was a female coach and a male coach. It was horrible.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah.
Male against female.
Yes.
And she kicked his ass.
She did. But, I mean, some of the stuff you see at these youth sports events are shocking and appalling. And it's not about you, the adults. It's about the kids. And they shouldn't have to witness it.
Yeah, no, you're right. But some of those basketball coaches, some of those ladies, they're pretty sturdy gals, aren't they? Pretty hefty
chicks.
Oh, she
knew what she was doing.
I wouldn't mix it up with them.
She was ready to roll.
All righty. Well, you know, we had to mention it. I know we got the update. It's a story that nobody wants to talk about, I feel like, you know, because it's just so sad. It really is. And you just shake your head to hear about stories like this. Tommy from Atlanta used to coach, and the parents came on the field because we ran trick plays and embarrassed the other team. Terrible story. I carry my gun everywhere, but I have never pulled it even when I've witnessed fights or crimes because loss of life was not imminent. There you go. Yeah. I think that's the standard. Is loss of life imminent? There you go. Oh, I got to pull my gun out because somebody's about to be the bad guy. Kenny and Quinlan, worst experience I've had was a men's church league game. Yeah. My dad used to play in a church league softball tournament all the dang time. Those boys would be getting after it.
Youth pastor's gone wild, bro.
I coach in that league, volunteer, no kid on the team, and I get cussed out every game.
Yeah. See, that's, you know, and God bless you for being a coach because I couldn't do it.
Yeah, I don't think I'm doing
it. I could not do that, and I'm glad that Bennett's over with all that. But, I mean, they're like, hey, you want to coach? No, I really don't.
I'm good, thanks.
I really don't because I didn't want to put up with parents that were losing their minds because it was it's about the competition. It's about the sport. It's about teaching your kids how to adjust and work through any kind of issues and things that they might have and have a little fun. Parents make it not being fun anymore.
JD press conference coming up at 2:45 as Woody has been fired. Okay. And JD is scheduled to join us at 4:20. It's time now for the G bag of the day. Here he is, Lucius Alexander.
Sir. Yo. It's hot out here.
Very.
That doesn't help.
No.
That doesn't help at all.
Not at all.
The competition, though, is crazy. Yeah, when you guys were, like, giving examples of different situations.
Yeah.
I remember this viral video of a police and a firefighter's hockey game.
Yeah.
Boy, them boys was tearing each other apart.
Boy, the amount of testosterone flowing in that ice hockey rink.
You're going to save a kitten out of a tree.
I mean, they went in the stands and everything fighting. They got out of control, man.
Smell the testosterone from a mile away over there, man.
God bless everybody involved with that other situation, though.
Yeah.
What is that? Number 3 here in Dallas for those brothers?
A third shooting involving them?
Yeah.
I'd heard about the one with Aqib. Uh-huh. I had not heard of another one.
Yeah, I think it's number 3, bro.
Yeah.
You need to relax.
Yep.
Let's see. G-Bag with the Day is brought to you by CBD American Shaman. Shop TexasCBD.com for that fire. Our winner is a reporter that put it right in Carson Wentz's lap. Hold on.
There's been kind of a narrative out there here in training camp that you've been a little inaccurate on your throws. Consistently inconsistent has been a kind of a terminology. How would you assess your performance in training camp, and is that characterization fair?
Yeah, I mean, for one, it's Cam. You know, I think I didn't know that, so thank you.
Yep. I know you told me you don't read that stuff.
At the same time, I'm my biggest critic. So I come back after practice, and I'm kicking myself over one, two, three, four, five plays, you know.
Real talk here, Carson. Mm-mm. It's been well documented. Mm-mm. Philly didn't want you. Mm. Indy didn't want you. Mm-mm. Do you think this is your last chance to prove that you can be a starting quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah, you know, I don't really think about all that stuff. For me, I'm playing the game that I love, and I have the most confidence of anybody in myself to deliver, to play at a high level, to, you know, be a part of something special here with this team. And so I don't put all that pressure on myself. I don't put, you know, people can feel that way. People can say what they want, and I have no issue with that.
Yeah, sure, bro.
So good. Sure. I can't decide if that is admirable or cowardly from Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
To just keep taking the high road.
He missed an opportunity. He missed an opportunity to dunk on the guy because the guy says something about characterization.
Yeah.
And it's characterization. Yeah. And all he needed to do was just correct him there, and then you kind of undress the guy. But I do admire the balls on that reporter.
I love
to give no bleeps and just inundate him.
I mean, all of his future ability to go in there and cover that team is probably now gone. They're not going to give him any access, but I love the questions.
Yeah.
Gosh.
What do you guys think? Do you want to go back to like your late 20s post college and instead of like paying your dues, just go for it as hot take YouTube guy? Throwing grenades at players at training camp?
I would just look in the mirror and just hate myself every day.
Mm.
Well, that's, I mean, if you think about it though, to get an interview one-on-one with the starting quarterback,
pretty big interview.
Yeah, how'd you score that?
How did you score that? Like, I blame the Commanders a little bit for not doing their research.
Oh,
like,
the Commanders didn't do their research, Brian? Is that surprising to you?
I'm just saying though, if I'm Carson Wentz, I look at that PR guy with the Commanders, I go, hey, are you very good at your job? Because I don't think you are.
I think that dude's probably putting out other fires. He's not worrying about who's interviewing Carson Wentz. Oh. He's like, damn, is Dan Snyder doing something today? Is he supposed to interview with Congress? What's going on there? What's going on here? There's a lot going on with that organization.
All right, let me get focused. Mm-hmm. Fellas, are you aware of the legendary Rob Ford? Mayor of Toronto. Former mayor of Toronto.
Yes, yes.
Was smoking Krills and everything out there in the streets.
He was, dude. Yeah,
he was
after it.
Boulders, bro.
He was drunk, smoking crack at like 400 pounds.
Man of the
people. He was an absolute tornado of a mayor.
Man of the people.
And he kept getting caught, but like people just kept voting him in.
We loved him. People loved him. I couldn't even vote for anything up there, but I was sending my vote. Like, hey, here's mine, man.
John Daly of politicians.
Yes.
Fantastic. Well, his big brother, Doug Ford, is also a Canadian politician, and check out this speech he was having just yesterday.
Not coming from the government per se, but the premier. It's coming from the health sector. Holy Christ! I just swallowed a bee. Holy Christ! I knew that little bugger. I'm good. He's down here buzzing around right now. He has a lot of real estate. Now, if that was in the clip, okay, this is going to be replayed over and over again.
Yeah.
And that just made Colin DeMello's day. He's going to be laughing all the way back to the city.
Don't you know?
Holy Christ, swallowed
he's wedged in my throat. Sorry, guys. A little bugger got away in there.
Okay. Little bugger.
Oh, I'm okay. Wow. He's buzzing in there.
He's still in his throat, bro.
Man, he went right down the hatch. Okay, guys. This is a classic, okay?
The bee was still in that man's big ass throat.
Bro, just buzzing around.
He's still in there.
Didn't sting him or anything?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
He's a tough guy.
Oh, there it is. It's crazy.
Doug's
crazy.
All man. Sounds like you needed to get right with the Lord, though, if you ask me, Chiafalo.
Michael Irvin, is he preaching or reaching right here? Michael Irvin, preaching or reaching?
I'm saying if they clean up, we'll stay right there. If they clean up these penalties, they will be chasing. Let me clear it up for you. The 72 Dolphins. And am I talking about the right now Dolphins? Oh, now you know what I'm saying. I'm talking about the 72 Dolphins. Yes, you heard what I'm saying. When you got the number one offense, clean up these penalties. You had the number one offense, number one score. You could be chasing the 72 Dolphins. Did Michael say something crazy?
Yes, it's aggressive.
I just see it reality. I can see it reality.
That's hilarious.
Did I say something crazy?
Yeah, a little bit. Reaching with that extender right there.
Undefeated, baby.
For Mike, man. He is on a high right now, man. Leading into the season, just feeling on top of the world. Trafficking in cowboy hope.
I want to hear this. Hold up.
I'm saying if they clean up, we'll stay right there. If they clean up these penalties, if they clean up these penalties.
I think he threw up in his mouth while he was trying to say it.
He swallowed his tongue. So
he knew he was lying.
So excited about that offense. Clearing penalties. Oh, let's see. Eric sent me this one right here. Last one, y'all. Do we have? No, we don't have time. Do we, okay. We don't really have time.
We could. Yeah, we should probably
go. We got this. Yeah, we got
good call.
Rangers.
J.D. Presser coming up here in 8 minutes. Let's vote. Reporter with Carson Wentz is our one-time champ. The characterization of that was very disrespectful. Rob Ford's brother, Doug, swallowed a B-mid interview. Didn't break stride. Michael Irvin preaching or reaching. I think I'll go playmaker here, Chief. It's hard for me to not vote for him.
Yeah, I hear you. I like the champ, though, the reigning champ. Carson Wentz getting grilled.
We're tied at one, Lucius.
Doug Ford.
We're tied at one, Wolchuk.
The legendary Ford family.
I'm going with the beef flying in the mouth with Ford there.
Oh, a big comeback from Doug. Bugger. It's 2-1-1, Brian.
Playmaker.
By a score of 2-2-1, we need a vote off. At GBag Nation on Twitter. Jump on to Twitter, at GBag Nation. And we're going to be looking for your votes. On the other side, we'll announce the winner and then get to the John Daniels press conference here on The Fan. All right, thank you, Lucius. We are standing by now for a Texas Rangers press conference here on The Fan. I imagine JD's going to be up there. GM Chris Young is going to be up there talking about their decision to terminate the contract of one manager, Chris Woodward, in the midst of another sub-500 season, okay? So we are anticipating JD is going to join us for an exclusive interview here coming up at 4:20, so we'll get a chance to pepper him with some follow-up questions. But the press conference here, starting momentarily, guys, Woodward, 46 years old. He was in his fourth season. The team went 211 and 287 under Woody. The team was clearly in a rebuild the last couple of years. And even before that, they should have been in a rebuild. I don't know why they weren't. But they committed over $500 million in free agents. And I think that's one of the big takeaways to me is once you start spending money, you know, those players are going to be looked at differently, but absolutely the front office is going to look at the manager and everything differently because now there's expectation. And when you can't come through with some results and there's expectations of maybe making a playoff push, you know, that's what happens in pro sports. Like right around year four, that's a no-brainer, right? If just objectively looking at it, let's see, you're in your fourth year and you're under 500 and your team just spent a bunch of money on free agents. I bet the manager's going to get fired. I thought, though, that, you know, he was going to get extra consideration because they hadn't really built out the full roster. You say $500 million, but it was really just two guys, and you didn't leave him with much of a starting rotation or a bullpen. But whatever the case, this organization has moved on, and now I'm really excited about what they're going to do coming up this next offseason in the winter, Wolchuk.
Yeah, I think that pitching will be a high priority. I know that they have some arms in the minors, but who knows when those guys are going to be ready. You know, it's been fun to see a Cole Reagans come up and get a couple of starts, a Cole Winn we were thinking maybe we'd get to see, but he seems like he's going to need a little bit more time, probably another year away from getting guys like Jack Leiter up here, and we'll wait and see the progress of a Kumar Rocker. Owen White's probably the one guy you point to in the minors and say he's actually progressed, but he's still a ways away. So I think you'll see them spend some money this offseason on pitching, maybe an outfielder, but at least now they are putting their money and investing in, all right, we're actually going to go out and buy some quality free agents because we're sick of the product on the field. We're not here to lose, and they showed that with Seager and Semien.
Let's go out to the ballpark. Here they are.
So we have got John Daniels and Chris Young for availability. Tony Beasley will follow following this availability. And to start this, I'll turn it over to John.
All right. Thanks, John. Thanks, everybody, for coming in. As you know, we're here to talk through our decision to let Chris Woodward go as our Major League manager and to... we've asked Tony Beasley to be our interim manager. Let me talk a little bit about Woody first. I think it goes without saying for all of you that have, you know, worked with him on a regular basis and certainly the way he's represented himself on the field with our fan base, in the community, with our players. He's represented us, the organization, with class and dignity at every turn. He brought an unparalleled energy passion, work ethic, genuine care for people, for the players. He was the same person every day with everybody, and just a real positivity in what were really challenging circumstances, from the pandemic, a rebuild, a multi-year rebuild that he's helped lead us through, and the lockout this year. So, great appreciation and admiration for the work he's put in and helped us in taking these steps. A little bit about expectations. I think that, when you make these decisions, there's always where you're at relative to expectations. I think first, and we've been, pretty straightforward with our fan base, with you all in the media, that, we did not, as leadership team, CY and myself, ownership, we did not come into the season thinking we had, put together a championship roster. We thought we'd taken a major step forward in talent from where we were a year ago. We certainly had aspirations, maybe to overachieve some, and still do have those. But we were, and continue to be realistic about where we are. That said, we do think that we're, we can be better than our record, and better than the way that we've played at times. And so that kind of leads to making the decision now, rather than they waiting to the end of the year, and that we think we have an opportunity to begin addressing some of some items with a change in leadership style. And really, we're talking about kind of a how we prepare, the style of play, the structure in which we put together our pregame that ultimately leads to how our players take the field and what our fans see every night. We think Tony's the right person at this point to lead us for this season. He has all the attributes that we're looking for. He has the respect of the staff, the respect of the players. He's an intelligent baseball veteran who's won at the minor league level, performed in a variety of roles, both here and elsewhere. And I think as we look towards this transition to build some momentum into next year, he's the right person for us as we move forward. So, again, I want to thank Woody on behalf of CY and ownership, our entire leadership team. I want to thank Woody again for all of his efforts into moving us forward. Then we can start with questions.
Raise your hand, wait for the microphone.
For either one of you, just the timing of this and kind of the thinking behind that, why it was important to make this move at this point in time.
Yeah, Emily, I think most importantly, we want to build momentum into 2023. I think there are some really positive things that are happening. We like some of the things that we're seeing, but we recognize there are things that we need to address moving forward, and we could either wait till after the season, or we could get ahead of that and start addressing those things now and creating momentum into next year. And we chose to do the latter in that regard. I think that's really ultimately why we chose to do it now versus wait to the end of the season.
When you talk about the preparation, how does that change when it's the same staff? What changes need to be made to help them prepare to take the field every day that you guys were just speaking of?
Well, I think it's just the overall structure, the environment. It's not necessarily the content of the preparation, but the way it's utilized, the way we utilize meetings, the way we utilize different resources throughout the day, creating a structure that's really tailored towards winning a game every single day when we come in. And we felt like at times that got a little loose, but ultimately I think that Bees will be the right person to get the best out of our staff and our players moving forward for the last 48 games.
Yeah, John, to the fans who would say you fired the manager, why is John Daniels still here after six straight losing seasons? Why does he not get any accountability for this? Is that a fair question?
Yeah.
And what would you say to that?
One, absolutely a fair question. I kind of separate accountability and responsibility, and I take
a lot of responsibility for our performance over the last 6 years, and we haven't been good enough. As far as, you know, my role in the organization, one, you know, we have made a meaningful change in that, and bringing in CY and his role, and as well as others, but you know, ultimately, this is a team effort. It's never, when we were good, it wasn't about me. It's always been a team effort, and I think we have a ways to go. We have a lot of good people here, and as far as my personal accountability or situation, I think that's something we'll address down the line.
To the point, without going into specific examples, Chris, but you mentioned it's gotten loose a little bit at some point in times, and JD, you mentioned not played well at times. Do you feel like that's been a season-long issue, or do you feel like that's something that has kind of ramped up or been more evident in the last 6 weeks or so?
Well, I think it's a combination of them. I mean, I think it's reflective in the way we've played to some degree over the past 6 weeks. I think, you know, coming into, the All-Star break, we were in okay position. We've fallen off, obviously. And I think that we see some things that we can tighten up in terms of reaching championship standards. And really, that's a big part of this decision. It's no fault of Woody's necessarily. Sometimes it just takes a different style, a different leadership voice to achieve those things. And that's why we made the decision.
Mike, just to pick up on the leadership style, what type of voice are you looking for? And does that voice long-term tend to come from somebody who already has major league managerial experience?
Well, I think we're focused on the present right now. We know that Tony is the right person to stabilize us and help us finish strong here. And beyond that, we'll address really the search as it relates to external candidates, after the season.
And along those lines, why is Tony, is he managing here in an interim basis to become a candidate, or would you expect that he just automatically is a candidate at the end of the season?
Yeah, John, I think that, yes, he is a candidate, and I think that his record in terms of wins and losses will not necessarily reflect the level to which he is a candidate. I think that we're looking for more than that and the impact in the clubhouse and the environment as much as we are on the field.
Other questions? Let's go back to Emily.
Have you all had conversations with players either leading up to this decision or since the decision was made and Woody was informed?
I mean, Tony has today, just briefly. I mean, it's been a number of conversations between when we spoke with Woody earlier and obviously meeting here with you guys. We met with the team briefly, and Tony had a CY was able to address them, and as well as Tony. Tony, I think, has had a chance to talk with a couple of players, but we haven't. Beyond that, we have not.
Go back to Evan here.
You guys, another kind of buzz phrase has been championship culture, right? We've talked about championship culture for the past 2 years. What of a championship? Why hasn't a championship culture kind of taken root here?
Well, it doesn't happen overnight, Evan. I mean, it's a process, and I think some of that is based on where we were last year and committed to a rebuilding process. It doesn't happen overnight, and we recognize, as JD said, we didn't expect to take go worst to first this season. The culture builds, and Woody has had an impact on that culture, a very positive impact in a lot of ways. This is about moving forward, what the next step is in building that culture, and we feel that the time is right, and that was a big part of the decision.
Chris, I know you said the manager search is down the line, but I'm sure there'll be discussions in the meantime. Can you tell us a little how that works between you and JD? Is it collaborative? Is it your decision? Is it his decision?
It's a full partnership. Absolutely. It's beyond me and JD. It's our entire front office. It's our ownership. It'll be an extensive process that we put together involving a number of people. As JD said, we win as a team, we lose as a team. And certainly we will be on the same page in terms of who we choose to manage the team moving forward, as we have been today with Tony.
Andrew. Yes, for either one of you, with this change in managers, do you have a specific objective for the last 48 games in order to strengthen Beasley's chances of landing the job full-time? Do you have any specific expectations for the remainder of the season?
I think most importantly, we want to continue to create a competitive, energetic team that takes the field night in, night out, prepared to win. And, you know, I think that we want to see improvement in our fundamentals, just the basic fundamentals. I think it's something that, you know, we haven't executed those to the level we need to become a championship team. Concentration in those areas. And then, you know, just from a teammate aspect, making sure that we create an environment where our players, our staff, all of us as an organization bring out the best in one another. I think those are the three main things.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.